Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Well, it's been an eventful weekend across the Irish Sea. Former British Prime Minister Boris Johnson resigned as an MP dramatically on Friday after he was sent an advanced copy of the Privileges Committee report, which investigated whether he misled Parliament about lockdown parties. Now, that report is due to be finalised today and is likely to be published this week. Mr. Johnson accused the committee of mounting a witch hunt against him, determined to drive him out of Parliament, he said. There was also controversy surrounding Boris Johnson's honours list, which Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has been speaking about this morning.
And look, when it comes to honours and Boris Johnson, look, Boris Johnson asked me to do something that I wasn't prepared to do because I didn't think it was right. That was to either overrule the HOLAC committee or to make promises with people. Now, I wasn't prepared to do that. As I said, I didn't think it was right. And if people don't like that, then tough. When I got this job, I said I was going to do things differently because I wanted to change politics. And that's what I'm doing. And I'm also keen to make sure that we change how our country works. And that's what I'm here talking about today.
Well, I'm joined on the line by Kevin Maguire, Associate Editor with the Daily Mirror, and Sonia Purnell, who's author of Just Boris, A Tale of Blonde Ambition. You're both welcome. Thank you for being here. Just going back to the honours list controversy, Sonia, first of all, some of the names included on Boris Johnson's list, they were also caught up, weren't they, in the Partygate controversy?
Yes, it seems like, I find it absolutely incredible that these people who were caught breaking the lockdown rules are now being honoured. But, I mean, there's nothing honourable about that honours list, believe me. And I think anyone who's honest, actually, should be rather ashamed. And we'll always have a tag, I think, from now on that, oh, OK, so you were on that honours list. Well, you're kind of sort of tainted in a way by association with a very, very dark period of British history. And I do now wonder whether we really should have such lists in future, whether prime ministers should have such patronage, because I think this shows how they can be abused, how people who are really not suitable for what is already the world's largest legislative chamber, then, and these people, largely are just not suitable to go there and will be lawmakers for life. Mm-hmm. It really is quite shocking.
Well, Rishi Sunak gave a hint there that maybe things are about to change on that front. But just going back to Boris Johnson's decision to resign on Friday night. Now, despite his statement saying that there's a witch hunt against me, I think the first thing most people think when they see a resignation like that coming after somebody has had advance notice of what the committee is about to decide, you think, well, what must be in there? We don't know yet, do we though, Sonia, what's in that report and what the recommendations are?
We don't know for sure, no, although like you say, we probably will this week. But we know it's pretty bad because otherwise there wouldn't have been a recommendation for a suspension of over 10 days. He wasn't driven out, by the way. He fled. He couldn't stand the thought, as he would probably have had to endure the thought of losing a vote on the floor of the House of Commons and then standing. Then there'd be probably a by-election, which he would probably lose. What he's really worried about is being branded a loser because, A, that just doesn't fit his own self-image. But also he's a man who wants to make a lot of money and people are unlikely or less likely to hire someone to give very, very expensive speeches if he's a loser. Very last, by the way, in his list of priorities are the British voters. People are finding it very difficult to carry on right now. I mean, none of us seem to figure in any of these machinations. It wasn't a kangaroo court. It wasn't a witch hunt. He failed. He's got to get over it. But in the meantime, he's acting like a petulant toddler. In fact, mm-hmm. I think most two-year-olds would be embarrassed if they behave that way.
Okay, Kevin, listening to all of that, he doesn't want to be branded a loser, but he does have the capacity to cause more trouble for Rishi Sunak, do you think?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think it's a baby Trump temper tantrum from the former prime minister, but he can cause enormous trouble for Sunak, not because he has huge support in the Conservative Party. I don't think he has that anymore. The fact there's only been two resignations alongside his tells us he's a declining force, but he can win headlines. He's a household name still, so he can keep cropping up, particularly in the Tory papers. He can flirt with Nigel Farage's party to the right of Conservative, former Brexit Party, now called Reform. I don't think he'd go as far as to join it. He'll keep hinting he might have a comeback, because rather as he pulled out of the Tory leadership contest in 2016 because he thought he couldn't win, rather like the way he didn't challenge Rishi Sunak last year because he didn't have enough support and wouldn't have wanted to win, he'll present himself as undefeated. Mm-hmm. Somebody who went off unvanquished. But you make the point about honours for people who involved COVID law-breaking. He's given a peerage to Sean Bailey, a former London mayoral candidate, who was photographed at a party in 2020. Clearly a breach of the regulation, had to apologise, resigned from the police committee of the London Assembly because of it. And Martin Reynolds, a senior civil servant, who was behind the infamous Bring Your Own Booze memo, he was made Order of the Bath. He's utterly shameless, Johnson, in this way. And I think that is costing him support amongst more reasonable mainstream Tories who see that he is something of a liability, and they believe they have a better chance of winning the next election by pulling together and getting behind Sunak in some way, mm-hmm. whatever their doubts about him, rather than champion the king over the water.
Now, just going back to the committee, the witch hunt, hounding him out of office and so on, and Sonia addressed this earlier, but his close ally, former Downing Street spin doctor Guto Harry, who was on Sky News yesterday, he was saying that the chair of that committee, former deputy leader of the Labour Party, Harriet Harman, he's saying it's just wrong that she was in that position. He said, can you imagine any Labour supporter being happy if someone like William Hague, shall we say, had the fate of Keir Starmer in his hands? But the fact is that most of the members of the committee are Conservatives, aren't they?
Yeah, this is what Guto Harry, Boris Johnson all conveniently overlook. It's a seven-person committee, and four of them are Conservative MPs. So to agree a report that finds the former Prime Minister knowingly and recklessly lied to the House of Commons and then recommend a punishment that is 10 or more days, which could trigger a recall ballot in the constituency from which he's now resigned, you would need at least one Conservative to agree with it. It'd be very hard to find any Labour, any opposition MP, and actually a large body of the Conservative Party in Parliament that wasn't critical of Boris Johnson's behaviour during COVID, and particularly that the evidence that it was party central in Downing Street and other parts of the government. But they will keep seizing on that as a distraction. It's rather the way Donald Trump would. Mm-hmm. In the States, you just forget, you ignore the evidence that's very inconvenient, difficult to explain away, so you pick on something else and put the focus on that. But something like nearly 9 in 10 people in the UK now believe Boris Johnson actually broke the rules during COVID, so it's not working for him.
And the Partygate conclusions, we haven't seen them yet. He has. I'm reading reports that it is likely to find, Kevin, that Boris Johnson not only made recklessly inaccurate statements in the Commons, but also deliberately lied to MPs. What are you hearing is in that report?
Yeah, which the seven MPs beat today to finalise it. We're expecting it as early as tomorrow, although these timings can slip. No, it seems now, and they were really tight for a long time, this committee, as they did their deliberations, but they've reached their conclusions. And I think what's tipped them is, one, they felt he wasn't honest with them when he gave evidence. Two, they're biting back at all these allegations from his small, dwindling, but still very noisy band of supporters that it's a kangaroo court, no due process. And three, he has a very high-powered legal team funded by taxpayers, which I think has been over-regressive. I think if he'd have taken a more calm approach and almost thrown himself on the mercy of the committee, the punishment may have been a lot less. So there's no doubt, as Sonia said, he's fleeing because he knows the game was up. A committee of his peers, majority of them Conservative, found that he knowingly and recklessly broke COVID rules, something he's always denied. But I think it's just there in black and white now.
Sonia, he sees himself as the Conservative Party leader who gave that party their best electoral result in 30 years. We know that he always had ambitions up to now, certainly throughout Rishi Sunak's reign and also prior to that, to come back in some capacity. Do you think it's over now for him?
I never say never with Boris Johnson, but I do think it is. I think, you know, Kevin is right that public support has ebbed away, support within the party has ebbed away. Look at the state that he left the country. I mean, you know, none of our public services work anymore. Our economy is tanking. There's a lot of dismay and despair around. I mean, really, why on earth would you want to have him back? I find it very difficult. I talked to a few people in some of the constituencies that he's sort of been linked to, and they all say, you know, not on your Nelly, we don't want him, thank you very much. And so, you know, everything he does kind of crumbles. Everyone he works with, you know, tends to kind of emerge scarred, as I did. I used to work with him many years ago. The more people get close to him, the more people are actually put off him in a very, very big way. So I think, you know, it's right to say that he will go on sniping from the sidelines. He will go on causing trouble. But it's also up to the press now, the media, just to kind of ignore this guy. This guy is no longer a serious figure. We do not have to talk about every single thing that he does. The bigger story is here that a British Prime Minister has been found guilty of lying to the House of Commons. That's historic and grave. And how do we make sure it never, ever happens again, that we have someone like him in number 10?
And if you're Keir Starmer today, Sonia, you are chomping at the bit for a general election.
Well, I imagine he's had a very jolly weekend, what with one thing and another. But yeah, I would guess that he would like an election fairly soon. I don't know. I don't know what Kevin thinks about this, but I can't imagine that Rishi Sunak has any inkling to want to call a general election. Why should he? He's going to lose it.
Kevin?
No, Sunak will attempt to hang on to the very bitter end, which is probably going to be the autumn of next year. We're just hoping something will turn up because all the polls are against him. If you're Keir Starmer, you will always demand a general election. You know you probably won't get one. There's always an outside chance the Tories could just collapse. I don't think it'll happen, but there's an outside chance if they really just fall apart. But in some ways, Starmer can just sit back and enjoy what's happening, because the blue-on-blue attacks are pretty ferocious at the moment.
But these two by-elections now that have been prompted by all of this over the weekend, the Conservatives are expected, aren't they, to do poorly. So there's no chance, Kevin, is there, that those results could prompt any sort of collapse in the government?
No, there are three by-elections. There is Boris Johnson's own in Uxbridge, which Labour are about 7,000 votes behind. So
oh yes, Nadine Dorries, and then yeah, we had another resignation as yeah, well on the head of the honours list.
Not Nigel Adams in Selby, but 7,000 Uxbridge, it'd be a problem for Starmer and a plus for Sunak if Labour didn't win that. The other two, Mid-Bedfordshire, that's 24,000, Selby, 20,000, they're harder. Liberal Democrats think they have a chance in Mid-Bedfordshire and have turned over other majorities like that. Selby, Labour, think they've got an outside chance. If he loses all three, Sunak, it'll just confirm he's in serious trouble. If he holds one or two, he'll be relieved. I would have thought they'd want to get them out of the way as quickly as possible before the summer, instead of letting this just hang over them.
But if a loss happens in all three for the Conservatives, where does that leave Rishi Sunak? Can he still then hang on until next year?
Yeah, his working majority now is probably about 70, but his authority is undermined. That is his problem. And he's
oh.
And the country is in with a chance of winning. And it just does not look like that now.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there for now. Kevin Maguire and Sonia Parnell, thank you both very much for joining us on the programme. Now, when was the last time you called to a friend's door unannounced, or maybe borrowed flour or sugar from a neighbour? We're going to look at some of the traditions that are disappearing from modern life and ask if they're worth holding on to.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.